First of all, I'd like to say good morning to all. May God bless you for us being here. To our pastor and our sister, we thank God for seeing you all. It's just been a blessing. As the choir has said, thanking the Lord for all he's done for us. Amen. I'm just going to lead you into a prayer. Oh, gracious God, our Father, the maker and creator of all mankind. Oh, God, we come to give thanks to you. Oh, Lord, for us meeting again. Not because we want to, oh, God, because of you. You've been so good to us. Lord God, we thank you for where you have brought us from. The things that have done as we went away. Oh God, you've been so good to us. You blessed the sick, those who are on the afflicted bed. You're awakening them, Lord. You're aiming them to get up and move about. Oh God, we thank you for those who is calling on you this morning. We pray, oh Father God, that you will please, sir, have mercy upon us. Help us to do your will, not our will, but your will, oh God. Oh God, we thank you for bringing such a mighty long way. Oh Father, you've been so good to us, Lord. We can't help but to say thank you. Thank you, our God. We thank you, our Father, for what all you've done. We ask, oh God, that you will please bless us this day. We thank you for our pastor who's leadership. Thank you for his wife. We thank you, oh God, for the dedicated service they have given this Good Hope Church. We thank you, oh God, for all that you will do now. We ask that you will give us the strength to go on. Oh Lord, we know that we don't have this strength, but we look to thee from which come all our help. We say all our help come from you. We ask, oh God, that you will please be merciful. Help us, Lord, to go through this day. Bless all those who are sick and ill, Lord. We pray that you will help them to recover. We know that you have the healing power. Oh God, we know that you are able. So we look to thee today. Give us a spirit-filled wish of service. Help us, Lord, to do your will. We thank you, God. Thank you for every little sin. Thank you, God, for you brought us all the way. We thank you so much. And we pray for those who are sick and ill. Please, Lord, please help them. Heal them, Lord. We never know what the next day brings. We know, oh God, but you are there in our every need. So please, Lord, have mercy upon us. Let our service be a service, oh God, that we'll never forget today. In the precious name of Jesus, thank God for our wonderful pastor, his wife, and his assistant. May God bless us all. Help us to do what is right, because we lean and depend on nobody but the Almighty. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church announcements. As a reminder, this is the first Sunday. We are accepting donations for the sixth well in Uganda. The spiritual discipline for the month of August is submission. Calendars can be picked up in the front of the church. Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church congratulates and celebrates with Sister Barbara Riley and family on the induction of Brother Ken Riley into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The video clip of the ceremony can be viewed on YouTube. Bartow Deacons and Stewards Alliance Incorporated presents Back to School Youth Revival Prayers for Our Children on Sunday, August 6th at 4 o'clock p.m. Guest speaker will be Minister Alea Epps. Come join us at Mount Olive Bible Baptist Church, located at 1450 East Gay Street in Bartow, Andrew J. Farley, Jr., pastor. The van will be leaving today at 3:30 p.m. to transport the youth to the revival. Permission slips are required. For more information, please see Deacon or Sister Williams. Happy birthday to those celebrating during the month of August. August 1st, Sister Gwen Baker. August 7th, Sister Carletta Stevens. August 8th, Sister Gloria Bell. August 12th, Pastor Pickett and Brother Jalen Rose. August 14th, Sister Kathy Pickett. August 15th, Sister Dorothy Granger. August 18th, Sister Barbara Moore Blake. August 22nd, Sister Sabrina Radford and Mother Speed. August 27th, Mother Jennings. August 28th, Sister Ruby Hudson and Sister Ashley Small. August 30th, Sister Deborah Long. And August 31st, Sister Yolanda McKay. If we have omitted your birthday, please see Sister Vivian Browning.
Amen.
Tithes and offering can be mailed to Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church, P.O. Box 233, Bartow, Florida 33831, or placed in the collection boxes in the rear of the church. Weekly activities: Sunday devotion from 8:45 to 8:55 a.m., morning worship beginning at 9 o'clock a.m. Weekly activities via conference call: Sunday school, 11 o'clock a.m. to 12 o'clock p.m., the adult class and the disciples cross. Morning time of prayer, Monday through Friday from 5:45 to 6:15 a.m., Bible study, Wednesdays at 12 noon and 6 o'clock p.m., Friday prayer meeting from 6 to 6:30 p.m. For conference call information, please contact us at area code 863-533-7007 or email us at mygoodhopembc@gmail.com. Remember, if you are listening via conference call, please place your phone on mute. Welcome to Good Hope. If you are visiting Good Hope, we would like to take this opportunity to welcome you to our service. We are so happy you are here. Let us give God glory and honor for the opportunity that He has given us to be here today to share His word and Christian love. Again, you are welcome. This concludes the announcements.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Sister Tasha, for those announcements. And I want to say thank you to the church. Sister Pickett and I did have a wonderful time away, but it is so good to be back. I want to just ask the church to keep us in prayer. A number of our regular members are out. They're not feeling well today, so we're going to be praying for them. And remember Pastor and Sister Stevens and Deacon and Mother Browning and little Gloria, their daughter, as well as others. I may not even know if we're out and not feeling well. Again, congratulations to Sister Barbara Riley and family. I want to say a brief word to the church concerning our youth ministry and in their presence to thank Deacon and Sister Williams. They did a tremendous job on yesterday. Amen. Amen. I see some of our young people who are clapping and celebrating that. Thank you all so much for the cookout, the back-to-school ministry. Sister Small was there and some others of our adults. And God is on the move. People are asking, where are our young people? Well, yesterday, that place was about full of young people on yesterday and as well. And our young people are here today. They are here. They are present. And I'm grateful to what the Bartow Ministerial Alliance is doing to help our young people as well. So today is the day the Lord has made. We're certainly rejoicing and glad in it. Thank you so much, Sister Small, and to our choir. Amen. Our praise team doing a tremendous job. Amen. They have been so faithful, and we certainly want to thank them for all that they're doing. It is so good to see all of you all. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good morning, Good Hope. Listen to a prayer of Moses, the man of God.
Yeah.
He said, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Yes.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God, our Heavenly Father, we proclaim you are God today. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the only God of this universe. You created all of us. You created everything else that is here. And yet you know each one of us individually. And we thank you for that. We welcome your Holy Spirit in this place and in our lives today. Lord, as we seek to bring you glory and honor, accept our worship, we pray, in Jesus' holy name. And God's people together said, amen and amen.
Thank you, Pastor Harris. Amen.
if you know Jesus, you want to tell it everywhere you go. Amen? Because we've got to tell the world. We've got to tell the world. If we don't tell the world, who's going to do it? We're all there is. We're all there is. And Jesus said to go and tell the world. We're going to look at our scripture today. Our scripture passage is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You can begin turning there in your scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to be reading verses 23 to 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 26. The Apostle Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Yes. May God add his blessing to the hearing, the reading, and the understanding and the doing of his holy scripture. Praise God. Blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen.
You don't always do it the way you want to do it. But God ain't mad at you. gonna do this over again. Yes, sir. And see, you young people, don't be scared to stand up for the Lord. Because he said, I'll never leave nor forsake. So let's do this again. My Lord. Remember that. Oh, how precious is that flow that make us as white as snow. No other thing but the blood, nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let us praise him today.
Yes. There is power. In the precious blood of Jesus. Oh, there is power.
Power.
So much power. Oh, so much power. Power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, power. So much power. So much power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Way back on a Calvary.
Jesus. Amen. Have you experienced the blood of Jesus in your life? If you have not, let today be the day that you experience the forgiveness and the freedom and the power that the blood of Jesus can provide for you. I am so glad that I have experienced the blood of Jesus and that I experience it every single day of my life. I hope that you have experienced it too. Because of the blood of Jesus, we can approach God, our Heavenly Father.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because He has opened the way for us. Let's do that right now. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You. First of all, we thank You for the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
We thank You that we can commemorate it each and every month as we gather around Your table.
Yes.
We thank You that You loved us so much.
Yes.
That You would send Your Son to bear the price that we should have bore, to bear our sins on that cross, so that we would not have to bear them ourselves. We are thankful for that. That's what the blood of Jesus means. It covers our sins. It provides that forgiveness and that cleansing. Oh God, You are that kind of God for us. And we thank You and we adore You and we worship You and we lift up Your name and bring honor to You today. Thank You. God, we didn't deserve any of that. Lord, even this week we have probably done things that means that we don't deserve it. Reminds us that we don't deserve Your love and Your grace and Your forgiveness. We don't deserve the blood of Jesus, but yet You, because You love us so much, You have provided us the blood of Jesus. You have provided us forgiveness. God, we forsake our sins. We confess our sins right now in front of You. And Lord, we lay them at the foot of the cross and we ask for Your forgiveness. And we know by faith in Your word, we know that You will grant that forgiveness because of the blood of Jesus. You said so in Your word. You promised it. And You promised to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh God, search our hearts right now, we pray. And Lord, if there be anything that is unlike You, in our thoughts, in our mind, in our deeds, our actions, our attitudes, wherever You may find it, oh God, we pray You would point it out to us, and may we forsake it and repent of it right now, even this morning. So that when we come at the end of this service to dine at Your table, oh God, may we be found blameless in Your sight. May we be found cleansed through that blood of Jesus. Father, we love You. We love You. Thank You for loving us first. And thank You for inviting us to come boldly before the throne of grace and mercy. And God, we come bearing petitions, Lord. Father, first of all, we want to pray for those that are feeling ill today. Lord, we think of Pastor and Sister Stevens and Lord, the whole family, and Lord, we think of others who are out sick today, unable to be with us. Oh God, bring Your wholeness and healing to their lives. Bring that healing touch of Your Holy Spirit down upon them right now, even as we're praying. Bring them back to strength. Father, we pray also, Lord, for those who are starting school this week. Lord, we pray for the students as they return to school. We pray they will be safe. Lord, we pray they will come with the right attitude, an attitude of wanting to learn, an attitude of wanting to grow, an attitude of wanting to be all that You have called them to be. And then, Lord, we pray for our teachers and administrators. Oh God, we pray You would strengthen them in a very real way. Oh God, may they feel Your presence as they walk into that classroom. And not only that, may they feel Your safety and Your protection. And may they feel Your guidance and direction as they begin to prepare our children for the years to come. God, we love You so much. We thank You for Your protection at all times. We thank You that Your Holy Spirit is with us. We thank You for the guardian angels that surround us. Oh God, we thank You for all that You provide for us. And Lord, right now we want to pray for those that are having financial difficulties in their lives. Lord, You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Father, You are able to open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings so much that we cannot even contain it. Oh God, we pray that as we are faithful in honoring You, Lord, you would be faithful to your word in honoring us with your blessings. Father, right now we want to pray for those that are having spiritual doubts in their lives. Those that maybe they've experienced the blood of Jesus, but yet things have come across their path that have caused them to doubt. Things have come across their minds that have caused them to doubt. Oh God, open our eyes that we may see. Open our eyes that we may see you more plainly, more clearly. And Lord, that we may see that you are the only God of this universe. You are the only one worth worshiping. You are the only one worth kneeling our knee to. Father, right now we pray that you would continue to search our hearts, see if there be anything unlike you. And Lord, again, may we make it right with you before we dine at your table today. Lord, thank you for bringing back Pastor and Sister Pickett to us safely. Lord, we thank you for their leadership. Thank you so much for all the leadership in this church, the ministry leaders, the ushers, the mothers, the deaconesses, the deacons. We're thankful for that. And Lord, as our people know, I never hesitate to pray, as you said in your word, for our political leaders as well. Lord, you have established government so that we can live, so that we can live in a society with each other, hopefully so we can live at peace with each other. God, I pray for Ron in Tallahassee. God, he needs to hear from you. You know that. Father, I believe that you are speaking to him. Oh God, he needs to listen. I pray the same for Joe in the White House and Kamala in the White House. Lord, they need to hear from you as well. And they need to listen each and every day so that they can rule us in righteousness and justice. Oh God, may it be. May it be so. Father, right now, search our hearts. Prepare us for the word of God as the man of God comes and speaks to the family of God. Lord, bless him, anoint him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. May the words that he speaks go deep within us. And Lord, may we become your obedient children. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for loving us first. We pray all these things in the powerful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's people once again said together, amen and amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Harris, for that wonderful prayer. Well, y'all, it's preaching time. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to invite you to go ahead and open up your Bibles. And as my daughter, I was sharing with her about reading a word and reading a word. She said, "What, Pastor?" She said, "Daddy," she said, "you know, a lot of young people don't carry Bibles these days, but they will have it on their electronic devices, on their phone." So our young people in the house today, go ahead. We invite you, encourage you to look up the scriptures on your phone. We trust you. We trust you to look up the scriptures on your phone. We trust you to do that. And I want to encourage our young people and all of us, whenever anybody is preaching, regardless of who it is, you trek along in the scriptures, in the Bible, so that you can see for yourselves and gain understanding for yourselves. And so today our text comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Pastor Harris read all of the verses. I'm going to read just a few other. Father, we thank you for preaching time. And now, God, we pray that you would tune our hearts, our minds into your word. God, help us to turn off the things that are going on at home and in the world and maybe even right around us, the distractions, and focus on your word wholeheartedly in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want us to look at verses 25 and 24 and 25 again. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." And underscore in your mind the words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Everybody say, "Do this in remembrance." Do this in remembrance.
of me. And then in verse 25, it says, in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Everybody say again, in remembrance of me, because that's what we want to talk about today, the Lord's Supper, what we need to remember. Amen. You see what Jesus underscored that twice, you know, in this two verses, he said, remember. And I've been taught and been told that when it's repeated in the Bible, that means that we ought to put special emphasis on it. So our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said twice, in remembrance. I mean, he used that word, remember. Now, if Jesus prepared to share the Lord's Supper with his disciples, he explained to them the symbolism of the bread. He took that bread and he told them that this is my body, which is given for you. So he was explaining what this was about. And what Jesus was saying in this text, the symbolism, is that my body is going to be battered, beaten, and bruised for you. My body is going to be pierced for you. All of the punishment and the wrath and the judgment of God that belong to you, I'm going to take it in my body. That's the symbolism. He said, this is my body. Isaiah picked up on that symbolism when he said Jesus, talking about Jesus, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We have all gone astray. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And so that's what the prophet Isaiah is talking about. And that's what Jesus is talking about at that table. He's explaining to his disciples the simile. This thing is getting ready to go down. And it's going to go big. It's going to go down big time. But I don't want you to be worried about it, because all of that punishment, that bruising and that you should have gotten, I'm going to take it for you. That's the symbolism. And then he moved from the symbolism of his body, the bread, to the blood. He talks about this blood that I'm about to share is the new covenant in my blood. So he's explaining to him of the blood, the symbolism of the blood. Now, you know from your Bible reading in the Old Testament that the blood of animals was the payment. Heard the term scapegoat before, right? Well, that's where that term comes from, the scapegoat. And they would take that scapegoat and the priest would put the blood on the head of the scapegoat, and that represented everybody's sins. And then they would send that goat out into the wilderness. That was the payment of sin. So what Jesus is saying in the symbolism is, now that's gone. The old is obsolete. This is a new covenant. It's right there in the scripture. He says it's a new covenant. Nothing else will pay for your sin. I love when our music team, our choir praise team, singing about those songs about the blood of Jesus, right? I mean, that's what he was talking about. He's talking about the blood. My blood is going to cover all of your sins, past, present, and future. And so he explains that symbolism to him. And then right in the midst of that symbolism, he moved from that. And both times he said, and do this in remembrance of me. So when you eat the bread, he said, when you eat the bread, I want you to remember me. Yeah. And he said, now when you drink the cup, I want you to remember me. Right. And so what do we need to remember as we prepare for the Lord's table? I mean, every first Sunday we come to this Lord's table. Some people take communion churches every Sunday, but Jesus didn't give a specific amount of time. He just said, as often as you do it. And so we ought to do it once a month. So, you know, what are some things that Jesus wants us to remember? What did he want the disciples to remember? Why didn't he just want them to go nonchalantly on their way? I mean, that's what happens sometimes. People come on the first Sunday, they take communion, they go right on out the door, don't even think about it anymore until the first Sunday, right? So they just go right on out the door. But Jesus said, no, don't do that. He said, I want you to remember me. So when you go outside the door, I want you to remember me on Monday. You know, when you're going through stuff, I want you to remember on Tuesday. Things may not go your way. I want you to remember me on Wednesday. You might be up in the clouds. Everything, it might be a yippity-doo-dah, yippity-yay. My, oh my, what a wonderful day. Everything is going my. Y'all ever had them kind of days where, I mean, you clicking on all A's, everything is going your way. You can't do no wrong. I had those days. I'm sure you had those days too. Man, the sun is shining. I'm happy. Ooh, I'm so excited. And then you have those days like it's raining. And you're struggling. You're like, oh, God, where are you? So Jesus said, no matter what kind of day you have, he said, I want you to remember me. This is not just an exercise in futility. We come to this table. It has purpose. He said, when you walk outside of those doors, you remember me. So what are some things that he wants us to remember? Well, first, he wants us to remember the power of God.
Right.
Help me, somebody.
Yes.
He said, when you come to this table, you are to remember the power of God. It was the power of God that put the bread on the table. It was the power of God that put the cup on the table. Jesus is saying, I want y'all to remember that. I want you to remember the power of God. Now we live in America. I mean, and people suffer from delusions of grandeur. You know, there are people walking around like they got all power. There are people talking in high places like they got all power. And what Jesus is saying, now when you hear that kind of nonsense and you see that kind of action, I don't want you to pay that foolish no attention. What I want you to understand is that God has all power. So you don't worry about people and the power that they have and what people can do to you and how people can hurt. No. God has all power. Just last night, Sister Pickett and I were talking to Linnell Jr. over in Okinawa. You know, he and Yoko and the people just came from through a horrendous typhoon. And he was just saying, Daddy, you know, it came through and did all this damage. He said, and then he said it turned around and came back. He said, but you know what, Daddy and Mom, he said, this typhoon taught us some things. When my son said, you know, this thing taught us, I'm all ears. Listen, y'all, when young people say, I've been taught something about what God is doing, you need to be all ears.
Right.
He said to us, he said, we learned that this storm is the great equalizer. He said, it don't make no difference on this island if you got a big house. A little house. He said, everybody's the same. We all trying to survive this. We all trying to make it through this thing. What I'm trying to say is it doesn't make any difference what kind of power a person has or think they have. It's limited. God has all power. And I was a chaplain in the United States Air Force. I told y'all this story before. I love telling. I went out to the cemetery at Fort Sam Houston, the National Cemetery. And I'm riding along with the cemetery attendant. I'm going up to the grave to do graveside service. And he said to me, he said, chaplain, he said, you look out over this cemetery. You see all those crosses, all those graves. He said, every man, everybody in this cemetery is equal. Now, this is what he said. He said, everybody gets 6 feet. He said, in this cemetery, everybody's equal. And then he said, Deacon Williams, who's been in the army, others of you, he said, now, the general gets 6 feet. And the private gets 6 feet. In other words, don't you be so overwhelmed and worried about people and the power that they have or think that they have. It's all limited.
Yes, yes, yes.
And when people, all powerful people, are going to go the way of all flesh just like everybody else. You might live in a mansion, or you might live in a tent. Under a cardboard box, but everybody is going to go the way of all flesh unless Jesus comes first. And so what this table is telling us, don't get so caught up and wrapped up and worried about the kind of power that people have or think. It's all limited. The table reminds us, and Jesus wants us to know, that God has all power. He's the immutable. He's the undisputable.
Yeah.
powerful ruler of heaven and earth. Y'all remember Muhammad Ali, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ali used to talk about, you know, talk about the, you know, the power that he had. He was a powerful person in that ring. You didn't want to step up in there with him. But the truth of the matter is, his power was limited because one day somebody whipped him. And in the latter days of his life, looking at it, you can never tell he was the former heavyweight champion of the world. That's because human power is limited. It comes from God. He gives it and he takes it away. But God has all power. Yeah. And everyone will give an account to the one and true God of the Bible who has all power. And that's why in 2 Philippians chapter 2, it says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So this table reminds us, and Jesus is saying, remember that God has all power. So your worship should be for God and God alone. I met a lot of people I respect. I worship no man, no woman except God. God gets all of my worship. He should get all of your worship, your praise, and your honor. Because after all, it's God who helps you. It's God who takes care of you. It's God who blesses you. It's God who saves you. God has all power, omnipotent power. But then second, we need to remember the presence of God. That's what this table is talking about. You know, you come here today, you remember the power. You hold that bread, you hold up, you're talking about the power, remember. But now the presence of God. That's what Jesus said. Remember that God is always with you. That's what it is. When you come to the table, you remember that God is always with you. Well, the truth of the matter is, the words of Jesus reverberate down the Carter's time saying to God's people everywhere and under all conditions, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what Jesus said. I want you to remember that. There are going to be times in your life when you need to remember the words of Jesus who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary is proof positive that God will never leave you or abandon you on this journey called life.
That's right.
So here's reality, y'all. And those of you who live long enough, you've experienced this. If you haven't, you will. Some people will leave you. One of my goals as a pastor now, the Lord will, I'll be 67 years old. Next year, I've been preaching nearly 46 years. You know, one of the things I want to share with people, particularly young people, you got to understand, some people are going to leave you. And the sooner we can get that into our heads, into the heads of our young people, the better off we will be. Some people will walk out of your life with the blink of an eye. Can I get a witness up in here?
Yeah.
Some people walk out of your life in the blink of an eye. It matters not how much you love them. It matters not how well you treat them or what you try to do to keep them. Some people will walk away from you as though your relationship meant nothing more than a casual acquaintance. That's reality. And it happens. But from the communion table, this monumental message from God is this: I love you in the sunshine of your life. And I love you in the rain of your life. I love you through the heartache and through the pain. Some people will say, That's too much for me. You stressing me too much. You got too much drama going on. You messing up my plan. I didn't plan for this. But God said, I love you through the heartache and the pain. God says, I love you under all circumstances and in every situation. That's what Jesus is saying. When you come to the table, you understand that God will never, ever, under any circumstances, leave you, abandon you, walk out of his relationship with you. And here's the reality. If anybody does any walking, if somebody left, it ain't God, it's us. I saw that slogan years ago saying, you know, if God is not in your life, who moved? If you ain't close to God, can I get some help up in here? If you ain't as close, who moved? God didn't move. Check yourself. Yeah. All right. So in reference to God's commitment never to abandon his people, David wrote in Psalm 27:10. You know, I read this last night, y'all. David wrote this. Even if my mother and father. This is deep, y'all. This is deep theology. He said, even if my mother and father abandon me, the Lord will hold me close.
Yes. Amen.
Even if my dad walked away, want nothing to do with me, David said, the Lord.
Right. That's right.
Mama. May call me every, don't want anything to do with me. But David said, the Lord, will hold me close. Jokers might come, jokers might go. They might say, I love you. You the prettiest thing I've ever seen. You the sweetest thing I ever seen. And the next day you see them walking across campus. With somebody else. She might say, I love your build. I love your muscles. I love how you look. Times get tough. And it's on to the next bus stop. Let's just be real about it. Again, David said in Psalm 37:25. Now, this is beautiful here because, y'all, you know what? Some folk got an issue with folk aging. I don't know if you know that or not. I've met a number of people who have been traded in for a newer model, a younger model. Some folk have been traded in for a faster model, a swifter model, a more peppier model, a more energetic model. But David said in Psalm 37:25, I have been young. I've had my years of physical vitality. I can run fast, jump high. But now my steps are a little bit slower. In fact, I can't even see you like I used to see you. I want to, but I can't get as fired up as I used to. He said, I was young, but now I'm old. He said this, but yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken. You used to be able to jump high. Now you can barely stroll. But God is right there with you. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken.
Right.
Or seed being bread again. Hebrews 13 and 5. That's what we're talking about, the table, y'all. Some things to remember. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can take that thing to the bank. You might lose your job. I will never leave you. You might not get promoted. I will never leave you. You might lose your home. I will never leave you. You might lose some friends. I will never leave you. You might even lose your health, but I will never leave you alone. And I never forsake you. Well, I don't have much more, y'all. I'm gonna let you go. But in my preparation, I saw this story. I saw this story in Daniel chapter 3, 25. And y'all know the story. I'm so glad y'all reading your Bibles every day. I'm so thrilled y'all know these stories. King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. I mean, he was this powerful king, powerful nation, ruling this powerful king. And so he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right, put in a fiery furnace. Put it in the fire first. In fact, the Bible tells us the thing had been heated up 7 times hotter than normal. He's sending a message. This powerful king is sending a message that you don't want to cross me. Y'all ever got that message from anybody? Key position, it comes time for your appraisal to be written. You know, you got a kid, children in college, you got bills to pay, and the message is you do not want to cross me. Even sometimes co-workers will come and say, you don't want to cross him or her because they have power. You like your 401k? you don't want to mess up. Well, that's where Nebuchadnezzar was. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego messed up big time. I don't have time to talk about Daniel, but I'm going to talk about them. They messed up big time in that mindset of mind of the king, because they were true to their God, and they were true to their faith, and they were men of integrity, and they did not bow, even when they were threatened to be burned. So he said, you set the thing up hotter 7 times. And so then when old Neb went to look in, what he expected to see was ashes. You know, ashes to ashes, we all fall down. But to his amazement, that's not what he saw. And so just to check his mind, that maybe, you know, maybe my mind is playing tricks on me. So I'm going to talk to my counselors. And so he stepped to them and he said, did we not put 3 men in? I mean, I'm just checking. I just want to make sure I ain't losing it. Because see, this boy would drink, you know, this boy had a drinking issue anyway. I mean, he'd get drunk in a minute. And so he just trying to make sure he ain't coming off one of them drunks where this thing is playing with his mind. You know, he just want to make sure he ain't just having an illusion or something. So they say, no, King. They said, you are right. He said, you right. We did put 3 men in. And so notice his description, as he expected to see ashes, but what he saw was what theologians and Bible scholars call an epiphany. That's just one of the most seminary terms, y'all. I mean, it just, every once in a while, I like just throw that out there, you know. But he saw what theologians, Bible scholars call an epiphany, which is, Pastor Harris knows this, a supernatural manifestation of God's holy presence. Have you ever had an epiphany? Time when you were facing a fiery furnace? Time when your back was up against the wall? Time when you can say, God, if you don't show up, I'm done. And then God just shows up. An epiphany. And so listen to King Nebuchadnezzar's description of what he saw in Daniel 3, 24 and 25. He said to his counselor, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered, true, O king. Nebuchadnezzar looked. He said, but I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire.
Yeah.
And not only that, they ain't even hurt. Yeah. Anybody try, you know, you ever experienced that? Your enemies look into your life. You walking, you healthy, you ain't even hurt. What they tried to do to you, God turned it around and made it work out. Made the thing work out in your favor. You better off before you went in. You better off now at coming out than before you went in. That epiphany. Power of God all around you. People showing up out of nowhere to stand up for you, to speak up for you, to defend you. He said, walking in the midst of fire, and he said, they're not hurt. And then this is what he says, y'all. He says, and the fourth is like the Son of God. Epiphany.
Yeah. Yeah.
God will show up in the midst of your enemies, and he will allow them to see you. But he'll allow them to see himself. And he has a way of convincing people that it's in their best interest to leave you alone. You don't even know about it. They can't sleep at night. Stuff going awry in their own lives. And God is saying, I told you. You can play with somebody else. You can mess with somebody else. But don't you mess with these three Hebrew boys. I'm telling you, don't do it. It's for your own good. Try me if you want to, but don't mess with them. Don't mess with Bill. No. What'd you say? Leave what? Come on now. Leave what? Leave my Billy. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Leave a Billy alone. That's what God is saying about you. Don't mess with them. Said about the Hebrew boys. So you can shout right here. The fourth looks like the Son of God. You can praise God right here. You can say amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, right here. Because God abides with you, tabernacles with you, stays with you, even while you are going through. Aren't you glad that you serve a going through God?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that you serve a God that stays with you? He walks with you. I come to the God alone while the dew is still on the flower, on the meadow. The voice I hear ringing in my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks. Anybody know God will walk with you?
Yeah.
Through your darkest times, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. I messed up, but I'm his own. Folk are on my trail, but I'm his home. I'm his own. And the joy, the joy we share as we tarry here. Hear Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego saying the joy we share as I tarry here in this fiery furnace, the joy we share.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes, sir.
As we tarry, none other has ever. That's the communion table. God is saying, remember his presence. He ain't going nowhere. You going through some stuff right now, but God ain't going nowhere. Where is God? He's right there in the midst of your troubles. Right there in the midst of your drama. Right there in the midst of your trouble. God ain't going nowhere.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let me hurry on. Let me hurry on. One hymn genius wrote it like this. I was kind of looking for the hymn story because I want y'all to know who wrote it. But they don't even know this person's name. But this is how they describe the presence of God. They said, I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roar. I felt sin dashes breaking, trying to conquer my soul. I heard the voice of my Savior. He bids me still fight on. I'm trying to help somebody today. God is saying, still fight on. He bids me still fight on. And he promised.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Never to leave you. Never to leave you alone. Michael Jackson. Jackson 5. One of my boyhood heroes. I got to college, Benedict College, as a freshman. And a girl said something to me. That was before Sister Pickett. I was a young freshman. I didn't have no better sense to live. She say, you look like Michael Jackson. I had an afro. Your pastor had an afro. She said, you look like Michael Jackson. He was one of my heroes. Y'all remember what Michael say, right? He said, just look over your shoulder. Woo. I'll be there. But I stand here to tell you on the authority of God's word, you look over your shoulder, he ain't there. He left. He gone. That's right, brother. He gone. In fact, he long gone. But I look over my shoulder. I look to my right, to my left. And God who saved me as a young 19-year-old foolish college student is still right here. Going on 25 years at this church. God is still right here.
Yeah. Amen.
So he says he'll never leave you. And so thirdly and finally today, and this is a short point, y'all. Don't get worried because all of them ain't going to be the same length. Some folks say, you got all that, all this time in point two. We don't get out of here to 3 o'clock. But here it is, y'all. I want y'all to get this. Third, we need to remember the perspective of God. It's in the text, verse 26, which says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Here's God's perspective. Here's God's perspective for us on this table and what he wants to remember us to remember. God's perspective is for you and me to remember to share Jesus with other people.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is saying. Don't just come to the table and get your fill. You know, people like that, they come, you know, they just eat all they want to eat. But they don't care about nobody else. You know, one thing I appreciate my granddaddy sometimes, you know, I could get away with going to one service, but back in the day, I mean, bro, he would go to church all day. I mean, in the morning, I got to go back. Tony know what I'm talking about from South Carolina. That's how they did it. I got to go over to Ebenezer because they got a singing at 2 o'clock. I'm like, okay, so what's happening? Well, and then, you know, I got to go over to Rehoboth because they got to preach over there at 6 o'clock. I'm like, go right on, you know. But when he came home, usually in those days, they would have eatings, you know, at the church because they know people stayed all day. So they had cake and fried chicken. And when he came home, I heard that car play. I was at the door. You know why? Because I knew. That's right. He going to bring me a tray. I knew he was going to bring me. And I said, I ain't want to go to the church, but I want the food from the table, you know. But you see, with the point that I'm making, he wasn't just concerned about himself eating, but he knew Grandma Pickett was dead. So he would bring a little something home. I don't think my wife will mind me telling this short story, and I'm about done. She, you know, she grew up in a family of 11 children. Her mama and daddy, they love me dearly. They love me more than all her boyfriends put together. So the picket boyfriend. In fact, they ain't even like them. They were so glad when I came up there. They ain't like. And she'll tell you, ask her. She said, my mom and daddy, they really love you. Yeah. But you know, they were wonderful people. But her mom, her dad worked at a school, did other jobs, 11 children. Her mom worked at the cafeteria. You know, the folks at the cafeteria, at the end of the day, you know what they would do with that food? They wouldn't throw it away. They get it, Miss Pola. You know what she would do? She would take it home, and all the children would gather around, and they would eat. In fact, I should tease Sister Pickett. Y'all promise I'm almost done. I said, y'all mama had so many children, y'all had to eat in shifts. I might have to go home with somebody today, so y'all don't leave too soon. I mean, there was so many children up in there, they had a picnic table in the kitchen. I'm like, man, what is this? I ain't never seen. But anyway, but that's what Jesus is saying, y'all. That's a similar thing. Don't just come and get it yourself. Don't just come and soak up all the goodness and love. Take it out and give it to some. He said, remember that you got some lost sisters and brothers. Remember you got some lost neighbor. Remember you got some lost co-workers. Remember there's somebody this week that you're going to encounter that needs to hear about Jesus. Proclaim his death until he comes. So he says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. God's perspective for you and me is that we remember to share Jesus with us. Now, let me just say this. Christianity is not about having a solo faith experience. You hear folks talking about it's just me and the Lord. No, it ain't. Ain't no soul. Even Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Read your Bibles. Being in a relationship with Jesus is not a secret love affair. Some folk got secret love affair. If you here today, you got that, you need to get rid of it. Ain't no being Mrs. Jones got a thing going on. And much too strong. No, it ain't. God can break it and get you back on the right track. But Jesus saying, it's no secret love. We ought to tell the story with our lips and our lives. Sister Pickett, every morning we pray for opportunity. Lord, help us witness for you today with our lips and our lives. I want to talk about Jesus and I want to live for Jesus. So let us never forget that we are ambassadors of the Most High God. And we have the good news of the gospel. And that is to share with us the love of Jesus Christ, to share with a sin-infested, sin-mesmerized, sin-sick, sin-suffering world. So here it is. Here's the message, plain and simple. Jesus went to Calvary to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. You don't need no doctorate to say that. You don't need no master's degree from the seminary to say that. You don't need a degree, a bachelor's in arts and religion and philosophy. It's plain and simple. Plain and simple. Here's the message. Jesus went to Calvary, John 3:16, to save a wretch like you and me. That's love. And here it is. That's not how the story ends. That's what this is about. 3 days later, he rose again. That is love. There might be someone here today, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have not invited him into your life. Today is a good day to do so, because tomorrow is not promised. The next minute is not promised. I'm encouraging you today, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just walk out. Make your relationship with Jesus Christ public. Confess your sins and say, Lord, I need you. Save me. If you listen to me by way of technology, you can do the same thing. And then if you're not here at the Good Hope Church and you receive Jesus Christ, we're going to encourage you to reach out to a Bible-believing church somewhere. Now, don't just go to a building with a steeple on it that meets at 11 o'clock. Because, you know, some of that stuff ain't nothing but a political organization, a social club. You make sure that they are preaching, teaching, and living the Word of God, committed to Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your Word. We pray that we will follow the instructions of our Lord in Jesus Christ to remember the power of God, to remember the presence of God, and to remember the perspective of God. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to prepare now to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You may be seated. Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and gave thanks, and he gave it to his disciples and said, eat this in remembrance of me. As a body of baptized believers in Jesus Christ, let us eat together. Likewise, he took the cup and he gave it to him, and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye all of it in remembrance of me. Let's drink today in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? It's a small, y'all. Thanks. Give us some going out music. Yes. And with Thanksgiving. Let us pray now. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord Jesus Christ make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord always be gracious unto you. May he grant you his peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen.